This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Jeffrey Bistrong. Jeff is a partner at HKW, I believe based in Indianapolis. I know at least part of the firm is, and you'll let us know where you're based. And he heads up the world of technology investing. He'll talk to us about what he's seeing in technology investing today, what types of opportunities, are there lots of opportunities, not so many opportunities, software as a service, other areas, kind of what is he seeing? Jeff, can you take a second to introduce yourself?
Absolutely, thank you. And while most of the firm is based in Indianapolis, the tech team is based out of our New York office, and I live variously in Boston and LA. So we cover North America pretty handily with that footprint.
Yeah, I bet. And talk about what you're seeing in, I mean, the Route 28 area, the LA area. What are you seeing in technology investing today? What's the flavor of what you're seeing?
Sure. Well, certainly coming through the pandemic, there's high interest in technology, in particular software and what SaaS software can do. In fact, the market very broadly versus narrowly for our just tech investors has recognized that the software as a service model really played well through the downturn, and that commensurately, it's a highly valuable model. And therefore, in the space, valuations are at all-time highs or near all-time highs with that recognition and therefore demand. At the same time, there's lots of capital chasing opportunities in tech, and it seems increasingly there are greater and greater allocations into the segment. So it's a very dynamic time to be investing in tech, certainly.
And there's been the growth of so many software as a service companies. You know, it one time we looked at the world and we'd say, well, this kind of company is being founded every day. This kind of company is being founded every day. We used to think that way about digital media. Now, when I look at software as a service, you know, it seems like there's, you know, numerous companies being started every day, of which a smaller amount gain some kind of scale. What does the pipeline of deals look like? Are there a lot of sustainable companies being built, developed? What's your sense of the pipeline?
Yeah, well, there are new tech companies getting created every day. You know, technology is very egalitarian. And much of what we're seeing is simply better ways of doing things that were done with bricks and mortar or paper and pencil. Or legacy software. And so there's always an opportunity to create effectively a better mousetrap. There's also the transition from small company to large company involves many different steps. And so there's always an opportunity for a new investor to come in and bring along a new and hopefully relevant perspective. And then I'd say third, you know, PE firms that invest in these companies, they generally hold them for a relatively modest number of years, and those portfolio companies move back up into the ecosystem. So collectively, that all drives a lot of opportunity in the market today.
And is it what size software service company, what size technology company does a company have to be at for you to look at it, you know, is a real target for investment? Where does somebody have to be at?
Yeah, I come from starting out working with small companies up to working with, multi-billion-dollar tech companies. But we're focused in what we think is a very sweet spot of the market. And it's companies that they're either entrepreneur or management team bootstrapped or been through a first round of institutional capital. So we're looking at companies that have, low tens or mid-tens of recurring revenue. And that's really how we look at it. So 10 million plus of ARR, where the company has great market opportunity, low churn, but where they think a new partner can help them take the company to a new level and scale.
When somebody's at 10, 15 million in revenue, 20 million in recurring revenue, are the margins so significant that just can be a magnificent business?
Well, if we just take SaaS for a moment, we may not worry about what the net margins are. The gross margins are generally very attractive in software, but they may be putting the capital back into growth. And so we'll focus on companies that may not be profitable, but have a clear path to profitability. And you can easily measure that with a SaaS company where if they turned off the spend for growth, you could see the cash flow they generate. So we're really focused on the business model more so than the margins per se. Now, I say that we've got two sides of the house. You know, part of our firm is focused on more mature companies and control investments and business services and health and wellness. On the tech side, we'll both do control deals and then do structured equity minority deals into these companies, whatever is needed to help that team grow their business.
Are there, within software as a service, are there specific industries that software works in that you're most excited about? Are you industry agnostic? How do you sort of judge where you're making your investments?
Yeah, I would say technology, and we dial down in software in particular, the SaaS model applies across all sectors and is universally kind of a beneficial model to drive efficiency along elements of various industries. There are some, however, that we're more excited in the short term and kind of coming through the pandemic. One is GRC. So the current administration's has got a kind of a renewed emphasis on regulation, and also coming out of COVID, there's more concerns on making sure things are done in the proper way that on the health and wellness side. So GRC is very attractive to us. But related to that last comment, healthcare IT is also very, very exciting. And again, there are tremendous ways to both take out costs and improve the delivery of healthcare. The third thing coming out of the pandemic is an area where we've done a lot of deals, but I think it's really been highlighted by our all being trapped at home, and it's transportation and logistics software. How do you track and monitor and manage devices in a way that doesn't require people out, you know, opening boxes and looking at things? And related to that, it's an area where we've done a number of recent successful investments and exits in the Internet of Things, IoT technology, which helps the software get effectively the data as to where devices are out there. And I guess I'd throw one more in there. You can see many, many bank branches being shuttered here as we recognize that, hey, fintech and payments done remotely are a lot more efficient than going in and waiting in line at your local bank branch. So we think that's another particularly interesting area coming out of the cycle.
Fascinating. And then it's really trying to find the next Venmo, the next Stripe, or something much smaller than that, which still be crazily successful, right?
Right. And again, it's both disruptive companies like those, which are providing a new way of doing things, and then companies that are simply helping financial institutions better deliver their solutions that don't require people waiting in a line at a branch. We have one asset that's involved in helping provide loans and taking the cost out of it for the banks themselves. So I think there are many ways to play that theme.
100%. Jeff, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today. The world of technology investing, software service investing has just, of course, exploded. We wish you great luck. You've hit at the right cusp for a long time. So congratulations and continued good luck to you and to HKW. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Scott.